better than me. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are times in our lives that technology can be detrimental to our well-being. For me, this is one of those moments, because we record the sermons and then we put the sermons on the website, and people like my mother and father listen to the sermon. I'm going to be in trouble this week. When I was growing up, there was a route we had to take from Grandma and Grandpa's house back to the one house we lived at for a time. And it was across Pennsylvania Route 422. Now, I can remember when I was about in kindergarten looking up on that route and looking across off to the left as we were returning home and seeing this massive bridge being built. 4-lane highway bridge across what seemed to be nothing. Ended up they were building that bridge because they were going to flood the area the road we were on currently ran through to create what now is known as Lake Arthur. Now, little did I know that 15 years later we would be living very close to Lake Arthur, and I would be working even closer to there at Camp Lutherland. This is the part where I really would like to thank the Porsche company and their development of the Volkswagen and Ferdinand Porsche's love for putting cars' engines in the rear. So it was a Saturday night. We were off from working for camp, driving around, doing a whole lot of nothing, as people in their early 20s might do. And we were driving around Lake Arthur. And there are a myriad of roads that went around the lake, and it was a fairly good-sized lake. And I came up and over a hill. And as I came down the hill, suddenly water came up over the car. In the infinite wisdom of the Department of Environmental Protection in the state of Pennsylvania, instead of actually closing the roads, all they did was cut trees down and put them on the roads to be able to stop people, which works really well until somebody decides to move the tree off the road. And there I was with my friends in my mother's car in the lake. The nice part, again, is Ferdinand Porsche's love for putting the engine in the rear of the car. So when you're going downhill, the back of the car seems to sit up, and so even though you might have water up to your windshield and up over your doors pouring into the car, the engine still remains outside the car, and so in a panic, you can put the car in reverse and back out of the lake. Took a while to get it dried out. But you know, it was the beginning of the era of big hair. And so everybody had a hair dryer. And you get 10 people with 10 hair dryers working a car, you can get it dried out pretty quickly. When I was in Silver Spring, Maryland, I worked with a pastor. He was a senior pastor there, and he had notoriously poor eyesight. He was extremely farsighted, had massive glasses that made his eyeballs look about half the size of his head. That's how bad he was. I was talking to an associate of his from a former church, and he was telling me a story about how they were driving back to his house in the middle of the fog. He said the fog was so thick you could not see a thing, and it was at night, and he sat there in abject fear because everybody who ever rode with Ted was always in abject fear because he couldn't see. But now, not only could he not see because of his eyes, he could not see because of the fog. And he's looking over at what Ted's doing, and he sees Ted's mouth moving as he turns down the street towards his house. And he's going 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. And then he turns right. And then he begins the count again. And at 1,006, he turns and pulls in to his driveway. See, it didn't matter whether the fog was there or not. He couldn't see at night anyhow. And so he learned to count as he got on his road to be able to get back home. Now, I tell you that story because Katrina Gilbert wasn't so lucky. She too was driving in a fog. She was driving in an area she didn't know very well, and so instead of counting on her ability to know the area and having a count like Ted did, she was counting on her GPS. Because after all, it will lead you and guide you to where you want to go. Katrina had a very similar experience to mine. Except she was going about 35 miles an hour, where when I came up over the hill, I was going about 5. Because Katrina's GPS led her down a boat ramp in the middle of the fog and drove her smack dab into Lake Huron. See, technology isn't always our friend. And anybody who's ever used a GPS extensively will know that every once in a while it'll take you someplace where you do not want to go. It'll take you to places that you do not intend to be. Most of the time, they're quite reliable. Sometimes, as Katrina will tell you, not so much. But we have GPS for a reason, don't we? We have that little voice that tells us where we're supposed to go. When we want to get from point A to point B and we're not sure what the route is, we no longer look at maps. In fact, it's probably difficult to even find a map. We have our GPS to lead us and to guide us. That voice that we need to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. Today's Trinity Sunday, the day that we celebrate the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while we have a great understanding of Father and Son through what we have through our biblical record, and our understanding of faith and the idea we visualize quite often as having God the Father up in heaven, the guy with the big beard sitting in the chair, just waiting for us to show up, you know, that sort of thing. And Jesus present with us through our sacraments and through the Word. That Holy Spirit that kind of sometimes leaves us scratching our heads. But it is, I think, that Holy Spirit that ends up being kind of our spiritual GPS. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that understanding and idea of where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to get where we're supposed to be, and get us going to do what we need to be doing. For those of you who are graduating, those of you who are going off to college, you're going to experience a whole different world. Anybody who's ever gone to college will be able to attest to the fact that once you get out there on your own, making decisions for yourself to a certain extent, it is kind of an adventure to be able to pick and choose and do the things you want to and to sleep in when you have that 8 o'clock class in the morning because you really don't feel like getting up because you were up a little bit too late that night before. But you see, when you choose to make that decision or you're pondering, of course, you guys would never choose to make that decision. When you're pondering whether you should do that or not, you're going to hear voices. You're going to hear voices in your head. You're going to hear the voice of mom or dad. You're going to hear the voice of a teacher, the voice of a Sunday school teacher. The voice of a parent who you respect, the voice of an adult, the voice of a grandparent. You're going to hear voices that are going to be telling you different things, help leading you and guiding you, making the choices that you need to make to say, well, you know, get your butt out of bed and get to class because that's what you're supposed to do. And those are voices, I believe, that have been placed there by God. Because you see, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that fact that God's presence within our lives leads us and guides us to people of faith, puts us in circumstances and situations where we find ourselves being able to understand what God would have us do through our interaction with other people. And all of these people that we find in our lives are truly gifts that God has placed there with us. And the things that we learn, the things that we understand, the repetitive voices that we might hear in our head telling us that we should be doing this and not be doing that. You see, those are all gifts that God has blessed us with. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we find God's presence alive within our lives, leading us and guiding us, acting as our spiritual GPS, making sure that we're not driving into the lake of life, but rather that we stay high and dry going in those places that we need to go. But it only really works if we listen. It only really works if we take the time and sort it all out and understand that we have to pick the things that we know to be true and right. It only really works if we understand that God's presence within our lives is one to lead us and guide us in places that we need to go, to inspire us to do things that we might not have otherwise chosen to do on our own, to put us in situations and with people who might be able to inspire us, who might be able to lead us, who might be able to teach us, who might be able to guide us or work with us to be able to accomplish some amazing things. Because it is that Holy Spirit that serves as our GPS, taking us all to those places that we should go, putting before us those opportunities to be able to do so many things in so many ways, to be able to be true difference makers within this world, true representatives of the faith, true brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we leave this place, and as the summer continues and you find yourselves, you lucky graduates, going off to new and interesting places, latch on to that GPS. Understand God's presence within your lives through the Holy Spirit so you might make the choices that you need to make as you go off into the world. And what you'll discover as you go off into this new and interesting environment you're going to discover is that each and every day for each and every one of us, it is a new, beautiful, and exciting opportunity. A chance where God comes within our lives and leads us to those places we need to go. But only if we listen to that GPS. Only if we follow that guidance that God has placed before us. Only if we take up those challenges that are laid at our feet where God would ask us to go out and serve Him in whatever way might fit within our lives and within our skills and within our gifts. It is through that spiritual GPS that we can find ourselves not sitting in the bottom of a lake wondering why it is that we went this way, but in that place where God would call us to go. Finding ourselves doing exactly what God would ask us to do. Being the people God calls us to be. People who change the world. Not the world at large necessarily, but the world in which people live. Changing individual lives. Bringing our faith into the world in which we live. just by simply listening, following that spiritual GPS. And when we do that, we'll be exactly where God intends us to be. Amen.